Selecting suppliers. Supplier selection is a critical task. Some suppliers could have hidden deficiencies, while others might simply not be the best fit for a particular need. Another supplier might be more expensive without providing more added value than a cheaper competitor. The procurement process includes the following supplier selection steps. Identify purchasing requirements for direct and indirect materials. Specify procurement standards and requirements for price, quantity, functionality, and aesthetics. Identify potential suppliers. Specify evaluation criteria and assign weights. Issue requests for proposal/invitations to tender or use online marketplaces or auctions. Rank candidates and make selection. Negotiate price and service levels. Review terms and conditions and sign contracts. Note that some of these steps may be repeated and others may be needed only sporadically. The supplier selection process begins as soon as there is an identified need for something the organization cannot or chooses not to make itself. It starts by determining the product or service requirements. Identify purchasing requirements. Direct materials include raw materials and goods purchased for resale. They are often ordered in large quantities, may vary considerably in value depending on the industry, and are operational in nature. Requirements for MRP materials are specified in the relevant bills of material. Other material requirements come from purchase requisitions, DRP, or reorder point systems. These requirements specify what is being ordered, in what quantity, and the ordering time frame. Indirect materials include tactical materials such as maintenance, repair, and operating, MRO supplies, as well as strategic materials such as capital goods and services. MRO supplies are usually ordered in small quantities at sporadic but relatively high frequency overall. The value tends to be low. Capital goods are very high value goods that are infrequently ordered in small quantities. Some capital goods will be in the form of custom equipment or services. These require detailed requirements. For all types of procurement, purchasing needs to verify that the documentation is in order, units of measure, quantities, delivery date, minimum order size, and other information, and that it has the proper approvals. As part of the process of refining the product requirements, the organization should identify any stakeholders who should be involved and become familiar with the economic and regulatory environment related to the item. This includes not only a market scan of prices if these are readily available, but also a review of laws in each country where the product will be produced or sold. Specify standards and requirements. Organizations can select the appropriate international standards, such as those promulgated by ISO, the International Organization for Standardization, to guide industry specifications. Universal standards that apply across industries, such as for quality, can also be used. This is a much more affordable solution than attempting to develop one's own standards and then get all suppliers to abide by them. Detailed product specifications can be generated that refer to the standards whenever possible. The specification can state that a particular parameter was chosen out of the range of choices given in the standard, thus saving considerable time and money in developing the specifications. There are several categories of requirements that specifications should document. Price requirements. This is an estimate of the maximum price that could be paid given the target price of the final good after accounting for other costs. Quantity requirements. The general volume and frequency of purchases will dictate the nature of the processes used to create and deliver them. Functionality requirements. These are what the subcomponent or finished good should be able to do to contribute to user value, including quality, for example, fitness for use, as defined by the customer. Aesthetics. This addresses look and feel as well as relative grade, whether it is a budget or a premium product. Another requirement is to specify whether to order a name brand or just to provide the parameters and specifications for anyone to produce. Subcomponents generally fit in the latter category, but Intel has shown that even for subcomponents like CPUs, marketing can be used to generate brand-specific demand. Identify potential suppliers. Prior to starting a search for a new supplier, procurement reviews existing suppliers to determine whether any of them can supply the required materials. When an organization has multiple subsidiaries or divisions, this search may extend to their suppliers. For example, an Italian subsidiary may discover that a French subsidiary has an ideal preferred supplier for a given need. Sources for supplier searches include the internet, e-procurement, and e-marketplace applications or networks, trade magazines, their direct marketing to you, and word of mouth from salespersons and experts. Trade shows can be a good source for inspiration/awareness. Advertisements online or in publications might be somewhat deceptive. Online communities exist for trading that are hosted by private parties, the buyer, or a consortium of buyers in an industry. These can take the form of auctions, which involve bidding on commodities, or exchanges, which are online catalogs or places for pre-qualified bidders to compete to win contracts. These systems work well for purchasing in some cases, but they can place too much emphasis on price. To this end, some sites simply make it easier to send out partially automated requests for proposal, RFPs, or invitations to tender, ITTs, and get the responses along with facilitating other documents such as purchase orders. RFPs/ITTs are part of a set of request types that are recommended for complex or mission-critical purchases or for establishing long-term relationships with key suppliers. Using the request for terminology, the most thorough procurement processes will start with a request for information, RFI, to help gauge supplier interest and capabilities. They then follow up with promising suppliers with a request for proposal, RFP, which may present a business problem and ask the supplier how they would solve it. Finalists would then provide pricing or financial details by responding to a request for quote, RFQ. Exchanges often feature supplier search capabilities that help rank suppliers not only by price but by quality and capabilities. RFP/ITT tools may also contain supplier search functionality to widen the pool of qualified suppliers. Note that use of online auctions or brokers carries some risk, such as cybersecurity risk. For example, if there is a time-critical need for a one-time purchase of non-commodity inventory, such as microprocessor chips being allocated to a different order, use of these online services could fill the need by the deadline. However, one risk is that the supplier or the online service could be supplying counterfeit or inferior goods. It is difficult or impossible to vet these parties prior to the purchase. Specify evaluation criteria and assign weights. Evaluation criteria are the cost and competitive attributes that organizations use to evaluate and rank suppliers. Some criteria, such as price, will be objective, while most others will be subjective assessments of strengths and weaknesses relative to the competition. Weighting can be used to place higher priority on some decision criteria and less on other criteria. The example in Exhibit 2-36 shows 11 criteria, with a percentage weight assigned to each. If the decision were to equally weight each criterion, each would be assigned a weight of about 9.1%. In the example, price and lead time are given the highest weight. The weight times the rank, 1 to 5, with 5 being the most favorable to the organization, equals the weighted rank. These weighted ranks are summed at the bottom. Supplier C has the highest net rating even though it has the highest landed cost. The costs are summed and then ranks of 1 to 5 are assigned relative to lowest landed cost so they can be used in the ranking system. Exhibit 2-36, Weighted Selection Criteria. This is by no means the only way to create a set of weighted selection criteria, but it illustrates the concept. Note the criteria that are used. There are three cost criteria: price, transportation cost, and inventory carrying cost. The inventory carrying cost would increase for items that need to be ordered with longer intervals between ordering, assuming that this also involves larger quantities per order. This increases average inventory levels over those of an organization that orders the same total quantity, but with smaller, more frequent orders. The next category is value factors. These are competitive differentiators. Capacity, for example, would be an indication that the supplier could supply the volumes required. Collaboration is an assessment of how well the supplier could be brought to deeper levels of partnership, such as collaboration in product design. The third category is risks. Here the risks are availability, lead time, and price change. Availability relates to whether the supplier might be able to promise its capacity to other buyers. Contracts might guarantee a certain amount of availability. Lead time relates to variability resulting in early or late deliveries. Price change refers to the chance that the supplier could increase prices within a given period of time. Again, this could be regulated by contract, but the supplier would need to agree to it. Obviously, many other criteria could be used, such as financial stability, innovative processes or equipment, IT investment, commitment to sustainability, and so on. the set selected, and the weights should match organizational and procurement strategy. For example, weighting for distinctives might emphasize stable sources of supply, while for criticals, it would emphasize willingness and ability to collaborate closely. Generics or commodities, on the other hand, will certainly weight price heavily. Issue RFPs/ITTs. The organization sends out requests for information, RFIs, if it wants to further narrow the list, and then sends out RFPs or ITTs. Procurement of generics or commodities might skip this step and use an exchange or other method of quickly assessing and selecting suppliers. However, since commodities are of high value, this process might be used to find a longer-term source of supply. Long-term contracts for commodities usually require the supplier to find ways to continually reduce the total contract cost over time. Rank candidates and make selection. Supplier responses are used to fill out the weighted evaluation criteria forms, such as the one shown in Exhibit 2-36. Multiple people might provide ratings, and their responses would be averaged before putting them into the form. Note that pricing might not be settled until negotiation, in which case the price criterion in the form could be based on estimates. A short list of final candidates is created, and the finalists might be given the chance to make presentations, provide plant tours, and so on. Once the supplier is chosen, it is entered into the organization's ERP system or other type of purchasing software. These databases will contain master lists of suppliers along with information on supplier capabilities and performance history. Preferred suppliers can be designated and approval systems can be put in place for use of non-preferred suppliers. Negotiate. The next step is negotiation, which starts by specifying the negotiating methods, including how the price will be arrived at and the contract type. Prices could be based on competitive bidding, with the winning bidder being approved based on a fixed or variable price. Variable costs can be market or cost-based prices. Market-based prices are determined by the market in one way or another. Subsets include auction prices and published rate prices. Cost-based pricing is based on the actual cost of materials and labor of the supplier, plus a markup for profit. If cost-based methods are used, the supplier should be required to submit reviews and audits to accounting to provide more than just their word regarding costs. Negotiating requires doing some research regarding who has the relative power. A large retailer like Walmart has considerable buying power and thus power over its suppliers. Suppliers can have leverage when they are supplying unique or hard-to-substitute products. Supplier power can also be due to inertia. The expense of switching from an established provider might be cost-prohibitive. Finally, a supplier might provide a large percentage of the total volume of product that is available. In other situations, the buyer will have more power. Traditional negotiating tactics include the following forms, which are called position-based tactics. Hard negotiators view other parties as adversaries to be beaten, so they take a position, demand concessions, and give none in return. They threaten, mislead, or pressure the other party. This can endanger long-term success. Soft negotiators value agreement to the point that they disclose their bottom line, alter their position, or accept one-sided agreements that involve only concessions. Contracts may be won, but this party is left feeling exploited and may be financially at risk. These positions can be described as win/lose or lose/win. There may be a time and place for either method, depending on one's negotiating power and the value placed on having a long-term relationship. For example, a relationship could have low value if many similar suppliers exist. Fisher and Urey of the Harvard Negotiation Project developed a third option, a win/win negotiation technique called principled negotiation. Rather than negotiation in which each party sequentially takes or gives up actual or deceitful positions, principled negotiation starts by insisting on several criteria for long-term gain, none of which are typically present in win/lose or lose/win tactics. Negotiation should efficiently solve the underlying issues. Negotiation should preserve or increase positive relationships. Agreements, if reached, should endure, meet both parties' actual needs to the extent possible, resolve conflicts of interest fairly, and be in the community's interests. Principled negotiation is an interest-based bargaining style based on the following tenets. Separate the people from the problem. Rather than trying to be adversaries or friends, principled negotiators insist on the criteria listed above for long-term gain. They attack the problem rather than the other party. Focus on interests, not positions. Position taking leads to defensiveness. Principled negotiation avoids taking positions or insisting on a bottom line. Instead, negotiators relate what they are interested in achieving and seek to understand what the other party is interested in achieving. Invent options for mutual gain. Principled negotiators first seek a time frame in which to study the problem, rather than bowing to time-based pressure. During this time, they devise alternatives that could satisfy the interests of both parties. Insist on the use of objective criteria. Rather than engaging in haggling, principled negotiators guide any disagreement toward deciding upon a fair standard that both parties can agree will be the basis for the decision, for example, market value, expert opinion, analysis results, the law, ethical standards. Principled negotiation, or similar negotiation tactics, can result in relationships that are perceived as profitable and indispensable by both parties, which, in turn, means that the buyer is not constantly looking for a new supplier. Both parties in any style of negotiation are advised to predetermine their best alternative to a negotiated agreement. This is what the organization would do if the negotiation fails. It might be to negotiate with the runner-up supplier, manufacture the product in-house, partner with an existing supplier to expand its operations, and so on. When the costs and benefits of this alternative are known in advance, the negotiator will know when it is better to walk away or to take an offer that isn't perfect but still beats this best alternative. Review terms and sign contracts. However it occurs, negotiation usually results in a contract between buyer and supplier. The two entities agree to a set of terms and conditions. Contracts, including contract terms and conditions, are discussed elsewhere.